Today I would like to talk about the AMBO, which is right here. And with modern technology, it might seem a little strange why we would spend a bunch of money on what might appear to be an elaborate book stand, as we have here. It might make sense in the old days to be raised up high and to be, you can speak without a microphone so people can hear you and such. But with technology today, it might not make as much sense. And that is true, of course, if we are looking at it from a practical perspective. But from a theological perspective, it makes all the sense in the world. And it reminds us that the AMBO holds a very special place in a church. The word AMBO means or signifies an elevated or raised area. And this is really key, because the Word of God always descends down upon us. Whenever God speaks, it is from above. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai and brings down the Ten Commandments. Jesus gives us the Beatitudes on a large hill, on what is now known as the Mount of Beatitudes. The apostles are in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes down upon them at Pentecost. And here at Mass, the lector comes up to the sanctuary, to the AMBO, where the readings, the Word of God is proclaimed, and descends upon us. The general instruction of the Roman Missal says, when the sacred scriptures are read in the church, God himself speaks to his people, and Christ, present in his word, proclaims the gospel. I love to think of the readings as gentle rain falling on our souls, nourishing us, refreshing us, preparing us to receive the Eucharist, which becomes the life of Christ within us, so that we may embody what we have just heard and consumed. This is one of the reasons why the AMBO, the marble, matches the altar, because it is at the AMBO where Jesus speaks. It is at the altar where he reveals himself to us. And we often hear someone before we see them. And so when we hear the readings prepare us to be able to recognize Jesus in the Eucharist. Without the readings, without hearing his voice, we will never be able to see beyond the veil of bread before our eyes. We will never see that it is really Jesus before us. I think that is why it can be so difficult to pay attention to the readings at Mass, because God will never shout or force his voice into our hearts. Like we hear from the prophet Elijah, God is not in the earthquake, but the whisper. And so, in a sense, we must intentionally strain our ears to hear him. We really have to work hard to pay attention. And yeah, I'm still surprised how often that the very readings I prayed with to prepare my homily, those same readings offer something new when I actually hear them proclaimed at Mass. It even happened this morning with the Gospel. And I'm sometimes tempted to kind of go off script and just preach on something very different based on what I heard. And so the AMBO is a reminder to us that God still speaks to us today. His voice is not trapped in the past, but spoken to us in this very moment. We only need the ears and desire to hear him. All right, that was part one. Now on to part two. With how short this story of the woman caught in adultery is, it's incredible how different the beginning of the gospel is from the ending. A lively crowd drags a woman, probably not kindly, to Jesus. And not only has she been caught in a serious sin and is being threatened with death, she is also being used to set a trap for Jesus. Like, how terrible is that? Her very shame and embarrassment is being used for another's desire. Which is actually quite interesting, because it is not unlike the sin that she herself was caught in. There is a connection between the sin of the woman and what the crowd is doing, using another for one's own desire. It's another homily right there. But Jesus flips the trap on the accusers, and one by one they leave, until he is left alone with the woman before him. And what a scene that makes. The story begins with a loud, judgmental crowd, and slowly fades as one by one the crowd disperses, leaving behind only two people. We can see the time lapse as one by one the crowd gets smaller until there's this almost peaceful setting with these two people. And yet in some regards, the story ends somewhat boring. I mean, the buildup is big, life and death is at stake, and so we expect a dramatic conclusion. But what happens is the exact opposite. Jesus stands, says, "Where are the ones accusing you? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir. Neither do I. Go and sin no more." That's it. End of story. This event, which drew crowds of people expecting blood, ends as if the woman had merely bumped into Jesus as he was passing by. That's the mercy of God. When something terrible by human standards, appearing to be full of tension and life-changing, in God's eyes is as interesting as scribbling in the dirt. It's actually kind of funny. Jesus appears to be bored with this entire situation. And of course he is, because sin is boring. There is nothing interesting about sin. And I say that after just about a year of hearing confessions, and at this point I've heard just about everything. And this story actually reminded me a lot about confession, because I have been in the position of both the woman and Jesus now. As the woman, I have anxiously waited in the confessional line, the tension building up as my turn comes up, knowing that the sins I have tried to keep secret for so long are now about to be brought into the light, convinced that the priest is going to let me have it this time. I'll never do that, by the way. My turn comes up, then I walk into the confessional. I close the door. The tension and anxiety reaching its high point. And I find myself alone with Christ. My sins are brought to light, and he says, "Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir. Neither do I. Go and sin no more." And that's it. End of story. It's pretty boring, given the buildup. One of the things the church asks us as Catholics is to go to confession at least once a year, especially before Easter. That's why we hear so many readings about sin and forgiveness during Lent. And I bring this up because on Tuesday, we will have 12 hours of confession, from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And so throughout the day, there will be a number of priests here available to hear confessions. And so if you don't want to go to Father Dennis or myself, there's going to be a priest who will have no idea who you are. And in seminary, a nun once told us that the greatest gift that we can give ourselves is to go to bed with a clean conscience. I think we have all experienced the truth of that. I guarantee that the woman, after encountering Jesus, had maybe the best sleep in her life that night. I think we can all agree that we could all use a few more of those. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir. Neither do I. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore."